The Plant Rant is next on the first Friday of the month, made possible by Baker Orchard at Centuria. Here is Sandra, the plant lady.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
It is a new year.
It is.
I don't know. One day seems like
a I'm with you. It's just the next day. It's just the day after yesterday
and the day before tomorrow,
right? Today. So Debbie Elmer is out today. We were looking forward to continuing our winter gardening myth or reasonable pastime. And she is out sick. So let's just send some healing vibes toward Debbie and her family so that they get better soon and feel better. And hopefully next month she'll be back. I did do some following up stuff. So last month I had announced the holiday craft shows that were happening at Deer Lake Winery and Amory Aleworks. I did not make it to Amory Aleworks, but I did go to Deer Lake Winery and I did get some product from Rose Garden Hemp, who was my guest. Was that in October, I think?
Could be.
Anyways.
I don't remember.
Ashley. And so I did, I picked up some of her CBD magnesium nighttime relief salve, and it's very, very nice. I was having a lot of shoulder and arm, just pain in my left arm, and I did start using that, and it was very, very nice. Her products are really nice, like the consistency of them was really nice, and I did feel like it was effective. So people can re-listen to that interview, too, if they're interested. On our website, WPCARadio.org, where the Plant Rant archives can be found. So that was fun. And I know Natalie Trudeau from Healing Ways was at the Amory Aleworks, and she said that that was a really good show. And to remind people, too, that they can reach out to her for aromatherapy, which right now we can all be benefiting from that. So let's see. What do we have? Oh, we were talking about, Debbie and I last month were talking about the trees that hold on to their leaves. Mm-hmm. And I was going to look up the proper pronunciation of the word. I did. So it's marcescence. And that was the leaves. We see it a lot on the oak trees. And then we had talked about that a lot of younger trees tend to do that, and that how it can help protect them when
they're younger. Is that something that's inherent in the tree?
Marcescence. So, sure, you had to do this, didn't you, Bob?
You know, ignorance is bliss. If you don't know, you have to ask.
Well, there is that, right?
See, because I wondered, is it something that you add, or is that a natural occurring phenomenon, and how come it's in two different or three kind of trees?
Nope, it's a naturally occurring phenomenon, and it's something that the tree uses to defend themselves. So they're deciduous trees that would typically lose their... So deciduous trees lose their leaves in the winter. Marcescent trees are ones that retain their leaves through the winter instead of shedding them, and it just refers to the phenomenon of a living plant that keeps its dead leaves. So they still turn color in the fall, but they hold on, and then they'll either get knocked down by the wind or they'll crumble away. Young beech trees, oaks, musselwood, witch hazels, those are common trees that'll hang on to them. So typically what happens to a normal tree with leaves in the fall is that the trees actually create a separation layer between the leaf stem and the branch so that they can drop off without damage. But the marcescent trees, they don't fully form that layer, so some of the leaves will stay on. And then there's, you know, some different theories of why they do that. And Debbie and I had touched on that last time about just keeping some, you know, protecting some of them, like the younger trees. But it sounds like they're not super clear, but it may protect a little bit against like deer damage, things like that, because it creates more of a barrier, so that crunchy leaf on the outside that's dead's going to protect that fresh tissue that's in the stem underneath there.
So it's naturally occurring, and it doesn't occur in all trees.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. Yep, it's naturally occurring. So it's not like it's because of a disease or any other thing like that that's going on. So that was one of our follow-ups from last month. I'm sure we'll find more stuff to talk about next month, but figured I'd at least follow up. And then one of the other things that we talked about, Debbie had talked about having actual passion fruit on her passion vine, and I was curious as to whether if the passion fruit actually was on the passion vine or if that was a separate plant. And I had grown passion vine for many years. I had one inside. I mean, it's not a hardy plant, but you can keep them indoors. And I'd never had fruit on mine. So that's why I was really curious when she said she had gotten a passion fruit, which are fully edible. And the passion vine gets its name because the flowers are very, very gorgeous. And they represent both the crucifixion of Christ and the crown of thorns. So if you look up a picture of it, there's a ring in the middle, and it kind of looks like the crown of thorns that Jesus had worn on his head during the crucifixion. So it was, that's where it gets its name. But I'm a little disappointed. I've had lemons on my lemon tree, but I never had fruit on my passion vine. And they can get huge. I had a skylight in one house, and that thing just grew everywhere.
So it's an actual what, like an apple or an orange or?
Yeah, passion fruit is like a tropical fruit. Oh, I'm trying to think if I've ever eaten one before, but they're, I don't know. And see, this is why when Debbie's here next month, hopefully we can ask her about that.
Yeah.
Because, I'm not super familiar, I don't think, with passion fruit. But it's a tropical, I don't know much about it. So native to South America, North Africa.
Ah, see, so it's something we drug in here, in this country.
Well, yeah,
it wasn't naturally occurring.
No, and I don't even know that they grow here outside of, like, indoor gardening. So, sure, now we have more questions.
It's up to Debbie because she started it.
She did. I don't know what their hardiness zone is, but I knew it was a tropical fruit. But look up the flowers, though, because they're just amazing. And you can find the vines at, different garden centers. And that's how I had mine, was from one of the nurseries I worked at. But you have to be willing to let this thing sprawl all over or just, do some trimming back. But speaking of indoor plants and indoor bloomers, I mean, that's one thing. I love having my houseplants inside in the winter. This is part of, reasonable pastime or myth, right? But we can still take care of plants. Although my poor babies, they get so dry in the winter. My houseplants need water like right now. And
like all the time.
And here I am not watering them, but they, they persevere. But my Christmas cactus is in full bloom right now and was actually on schedule. I swear some years it's bloomed at Thanksgiving and some year Easter. But this year, it's actually blooming at Christmas time. And then Debbie and I talked about, I was saying how I brought some of my annuals in and that my black-eyed Susan vine was going a little crazy. And she asked if it was blooming. And I was like, I don't think so. But then when I got home that same day, I looked and was like, sure enough
it
had a bloom on it. And it's had a couple since then. So that's been really fun. And then, of course, I love my herbs. So I've been harvesting still lots of fresh herbs, parsley and rosemary and thyme.
So do you use
lavender.
Herbs a lot?
Yeah, I try to throw them on my food. And, I love fresh parsley on top of eggs or potatoes. Or if I'm making a soup, then I'll put a bunch of different things
stuff in it.
I made a...
That's what soup is.
Yeah, well, my friend was leaving town for a week, so she dropped off all of her vegetables. So I had scallions and a big bunch of parsley and some cauliflower, which I'm not a huge fan of cauliflower, but I thought, I bet soup would be good. And I had some potatoes that needed to get used up. And then I throw a bunch of my herbs and it actually turned out really good. Yeah, it turned out really good. And this time of year to get that warm soup. Speaking of this time of year, I do want to touch base with this. And I try to keep the show positive and upbeat. But we have talked before on Plant Rant about mental health and the importance of how gardening and plants can improve This we've had some gorgeous sun now this last couple days, which we need, because with the short days and being indoors and the holidays can be really hard on people. So reach out to people. I mean, even some of the people that usually think are the upbeat, positive people, everybody struggles. And
well, and if they're not needing that call, maybe they're so positive they'll make you feel better.
Right. Yep.
It's a two-way street.
But they might need it.
They might.
They might need it. The holidays can get tough, and especially with the long days. And our military folks, they tend to really, really struggle, so we need to remember to make.
They're not home.
So, well, and even the ones that are home that
they struggle
are used
anyway
to their military family, or they still have a hard time.
Yep.
So the suicide rate amongst our military veterans is about 22 people a day.
I know.
That's a lot of people.
That is.
So
that's, and it's sad.
It's very, very sad.
No, I better not say that.
So, okay. We're honoring those folks, though. And the good news is, though, we're, the days are getting longer. We've had the solstice. We're a few weeks past that now. Right about, and I've already noticed it being lighter in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And lighter in the late afternoon. Like at 4:30 yesterday, it was still light out. And this morning, the sun was starting to come up. It wasn't pitch black. So, but, and then things we can do, though, too, to help with our mental health. Aside from trying to have our blooming plants in the house that can cheer us up. And but for those long gray days, supplementing with vitamin D3 can really make a big difference. We get very depleted. Even if we can get outside, we have so little of our skin that gets exposed to the sun.
Yep.
And that's how we
Little as possible. We need to stay warm.
We do. Although I'm telling you, if you can get outside and connect with nature, I took a really lovely walk with a friend a few days ago at Interstate Park. And even though it was one of the cooler days, you get hiking and you get moving and you warm up in a hurry. I was really having a hard time acclimating. I'm like, scarf on, scarf off, zipper up, zipper down. Like, because you get moving and, you know, that
it
has
warms
some
you in a hurry.
Terrain where you're going uphill and climbing up rocks, but really good for the body and mind. And then I started thinking yesterday about how, like, grounding, like, it's how do we ground in the wintertime? Because we're not outside barefoot. We're not outside digging in the dirt. And we do get, like, part of our mental health, too, is, like, we kind of get wrapped up in our head, right? So unless if you can go someplace tropical or warm where you can be walking on the beach and touching the ground, like, so what kind of things can we do? And it's kind of interesting because looking back, the other day when I was walking through Interstate Park and really, like, we live in this beautiful place. Like, I hardly ever go there. I could get there for miles in 5 minutes and I hardly ever go there. And once I was there, I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. And if anyone saw the Facebook post, that was a picture that I took of one of the waterfalls that had frozen.
Oh, sure.
And it just, I'm just so enamored with nature. I honestly felt like at the time, like, I'm like, I just want to roll around on the ground.
So why didn't you?
I know. I don't know why I did. I guess pride, ego. Yeah. I don't know. I should put all that aside, right? But then when I started thinking yesterday about this grounding and having it be harder, it was like, that was probably exactly what I needed, was to be rolling around on the ground, right?
Maybe.
Like, we feel these things, but we judge it and maybe don't think about why.
Everything's on a societal basis. What does it look like to everybody else?
Right. And who really cares, honestly?
You really shouldn't, but we do.
Well, we did play a little bit. We had some fun. There was a part of the path that had a big, it was just this giant ice slick, but it was on a slope. And, you know, you could have walked around it, but we didn't. We got right down on our high knees and slid on down, and it was so much fun. And then we ran into some other people who were like, hey, there's this great icy patch up there. You know, and then later we're like, you think they did it? It's like, let's hope they did. Let's hope they had
That's for their own good.
Fun, right? Yeah, it was fun.
Well, there you are.
And then I saw a cool...
You used to be a kid yourself once in a while.
Well, we need to get back to that. Play more. Have fun. Be outside. I mean, that's... When we don't get out in the winter, if you're not a person who skis... And like this year, we don't have enough snow for snowmobiling. We don't have enough snow for cross-country skiing. Now, Trollhagen's fully open. They've got lots of snow, even with that warm-up and the rain. The tubing hill is open, which is always a blast. So get out and try to do some things. Yeah. You know, even if you, on these sunny days, if your body doesn't allow you to be able to get out and hike a trail, sit on the deck. Just get some
just
sunshine.
Get outside a little bit.
Because like right now it's cool, but that sun will warm you up.
We have a neighbor lady where we live that we see her walk every single day.
Oh, good for her.
I don't know how far she's going, but she walks at least around our block. And she's a healthy person.
Well, and I actually was one of those people who was struggling a little bit during the holidays this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And my holidays turned out quite lovely, but I was struggling. And then I realized I wasn't getting outside enough. So my bestie was over on Christmas and we took a really nice walk. And I was like, all right, I've got to start walking every day. And I've done pretty well with it. There's a few days, like today, I'm leaving the house when it's dark and I'm going to get home and it's dark. And not that you can't go out with your headlamp on and take a walk or whatever. But so there's a few days I missed. But for my mental health, me personally, getting out and walking, being outside in nature, and then that physical movement of the body. I mean, we all know exercise gives off endorphins, gives off brain chemicals.
Yep.
And then to just be in nature and be like,
and the fresh air is so good for you.
And it helps you sleep. And, you know, like.
It has a lot of benefits, is what you're saying.
Yes. Although my sleep has been a little weird lately, but whatever.
There's probably other reasons for that.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? You know, and I want to remind people, so get outside, do some fun stuff. I saw a really cute picture, which granted, we need more snow, but someone made a snow person. And then decorated it, like made a crown and like a bouquet so that looked like the snow person had like a crown of plants with dried plant material. And then it looked like they were holding on to a bouquet. And it was just really cute.
What was it made of? There's no snow.
Well, no, it was probably a picture from somewhere else, obviously another part of the country or whatever. But but once we get some snow, I thought that's a really good idea. I want to do that.
You know, every year, we're in a nice place here. We look out the window and we're looking at the lake. But every year in the wintertime when there's snow, there's some guy brought his little kids down and they've always made a snowman across the street here.
Does it make your heart smile?
Of course they can't. It makes you smile. Yeah. Because dad's out there doing it just like they are.
Yes.
He's helping them roll the snow up and all that. So that's a nice thing.
That's the good thing with kids. They get you out. They get you out. I mean, I'm an older mom and I have a younger kid and I'm glad because he's who got me into archery. He's who got me skiing again. He's, you know, we did Kyokido together. Like, kids will, you
What's
have
that?
To keep moving. Oh, it's a Korean martial art. We have it right here in town.
Yeah, I know. So, but,
shares the building with Napa there.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, so. Tammy
Turcott. Yep. Yes, Master Turcott.
Tammy Turcott, by the way, just for anybody who don't know Tammy, is a heck of a flautist.
Oh.
She played flute in the chamber orchestra when we used to have the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts. I wonder if she still plays.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. Okay, we're really getting off track.
I know.
I want to remind people, too, like Debbie today is out sick, but that there are lots of things we can do in addition to getting outside and getting our exercise for our mental and physical health. So, like I mentioned, Natalie, with Healing Ways and the essential oils, there's a lot of really good immune-building essential oils and things that can give us relief if we are having a cough or a cold. Lavender, eucalyptus, rosemary. And like rosemary essential oil actually builds up what's called phagocytes in our body, which are actually, they eat bacteria. So you're literally building up these things in your body that are going to take care of it. The main thing with essential oils and why you'd want to see an aromatherapist before using them is that they are very powerful. You always want to dilute them. You can create them like a mist with water. You want to add them to an oil. You can apply them to you, but you always want to use them diluted, except for maybe in the case of lavender and sometimes tea tree. Lavender with burns, just amazing if you put lavender oil on. I just put my hand on the stove the other day, put lavender oil on it, and lo and behold, I can't feel the spot where the burn was or anything. It's very powerful. Reminder to people to go see Lisa Kofakis, also at Silver Creek Herbals, mm-hmm. for coughs, cold, even some of the depression and anxiety and things that can happen this time of the year. And she'll sit down with you and give you a personalized consultation, because what might work for you may not be the best thing that's going to be for me.
Because everybody's different.
Everybody's different. So you can meet with her, and she has some great natural herbal remedies. And with her, too, because she is trained herbalist, if you're on another medication or something, she knows your, you know, the contraindications that could make things problematic if two things don't work together. But she has that knowledge. Me personally at home, as soon as I feel something coming on, I'll use some essential oils. Either like even when I shower, I'll just let the drain, I'll stop the drain so my feet are in. Water and essential oils, even just the old basic Vicks vapor rub. You can put that on your feet, put it a little behind your ears. I mean, that's why that works. It's the same things that they're using in that. I do a hot water with honey, lemon, apple cider vinegar, and then I'll add lots of ginger, a little bit of garlic. Yeah, sorry to all my friends, because I've been eating garlic like crazy. So if you don't like it, sorry. But some garlic powder, ginger, I do cayenne, which if you can't handle the spice, but a little bit of cayenne, cinnamon, turmeric, and all these things are just really good immune builders that you probably have in your cupboard already. Honey, lemon juice, you know, you may or may not have the apple cider vinegar, but all those things, and then just the hot water, honey and lemon can be, you know, and a little brandy or rum if you want.
Well,
but I mean, the old timers always say hot buttered rum. Well, they're not wrong. Oh, and a little bit of clove, if you don't mind. Clove, I can only do a teeny bit of. But all those things are really good natural builders. And for me, the minute I feel something coming on, if I start, I'll increase my vitamins and back to the D3 again. It's really good for our immune system. So those are all things. So, Debbie, I hope you're listening. If you haven't done those things already, go ahead. So we are actually going to end with a song today, but we have a few more minutes. And this is something I've been wanting to talk about the last few months, but I've had guests on, which I'm always grateful for. But if people can remember back in October, when the lilacs were blooming all over the place. And I was really curious. Like, there was full blooming lilacs all over Polk County. And I was up north and down south, not just in our county, but other parts of the state.
Yeah.
And I noticed it everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay.
So I finally looked this up. And the University of Wisconsin-Madison Arboretum did a really nice article online. And when you look at it, it all makes sense. We had this really wet spring. And then some cool temperatures during the bud emergence of the lilacs. Well, there's a bacterial blight that affects lilacs that's called by a bacteria, Pseudomonas syringiae.
Oh, good.
So anyway, I know. Well, and syringiae is the genus for lilac anyways,
okay.
Or syringa, so they're taking it off that. But so it's a bacteria that affects the lilac. So because of the spring, the bacteria was there, and then the blight grew, which caused early defoliation. I know I had seen a lot of lilacs that had also lost their leaves earlier on. Then they go into a stress-induced dormancy because they've lost their leaves. So this is similar to how they prepare for winter in late fall. So then if you all remember, we had like 90 degrees, and then all of a sudden it dropped down like 20 degrees. And then we had more than an inch of rain after a stretch of dry period. So all of this, and then the 2 weeks of low temperature and the heavy rainfall led to the lilacs to break dormancy as if it were spring. So that explains it. Now, we may see less bloom next year because lilacs bloom on this year's growth. But it won't... It's going to take way more than like one season of this stress to cause problems. So you may have you may have plants that bloom less. Although the good thing with that re-leafing out, because the plants that had lost their leaves re-leafed out, and that probably got hardened off and damaged, but may actually, because of some extra time for photosynthesizing, may actually help the overall plant health, but we'll probably see lack of bloom. And then just keep in mind, all new growth next year is where 2026's flowers are going to be. So if you do any trimming, do it in the spring, let the new growth come, and then leave that on for the following season.
All right.
Well, even without a guest, once again, I've managed to pull off another plant rant and could still use more time. We are going to play, this was one of my mother's very favorite artists, Harry Chapin. He has a song called Flowers Are Red, and we are going to go out with a song. And thank you, Baker Orchard, for sponsoring Plant Rant. And next month will be another surprise. All right, everyone, go outside, get some sun, enjoy Harry Chapin, Flowers Are Red.
Your son marches to the beat of a different drummer, comma. But don't worry, we'll have him joining the parade by the end of the term.
This is what he said.
there still must be a way to have our children say, there are so many colors in the rain.